Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Good evening, this is Abstract Illusion Radio, and I'm your host, Jennifer Hellman. Thank you so much for listening tonight. I am really honored to have this amazing woman on the show tonight. Her name is Dawn Silver. She is the author of an award-winning Jewel of the Lotus, Tibetan Gemstone Oracle, a book and card deck. Her work evolved into a certification program, which is called the Jewel of the Lotus Crystal Healing Series. We're going to find out more about that program tonight. This woman has been featured in magazines. She has appeared on radio, cable, and television programs. She participates in many holistic expos and teaches her workshops locally and internationally. She was the featured speaker in the Midwest Crystal Conference this year in Cincinnati, Ohio. She is a doctor in naturopath. I knew I was going to screw that up. Anyway, she is also classically taught in astrology and does jewel astrology readings. We're going to find out more about that as well. The list of this woman's accomplishments and accreditation goes on and on and on. So I'm going to catch my breath right now and welcome Dawn to air and say thank you very much for being on the show, Dawn.
Hey, Jennifer, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
We've got so much information. You are just such an amazing woman. There's so much you do.
Yeah, the second half of my life, I think I'll sleep. Thank you.
I don't think they'll let you. You've got too much energy. You will be taking calls later on, correct?
That would be fine.
Okay, we're going to give those numbers in a few minutes, but let's get to know Dawn first. Now, let's talk about your teaching of the crystal healing. How long have you been doing it, and how did that start?
Well, I've been teaching crystal healing classes for about 25 years, and I started out when, there was a big wave of crystal interests, and I got into it just right before that wave. I was pretty much in the right place at the right time. I had a naturopathic office, and I was selling crystals on the weekend, and people treated I would put out advertisements that would say by appointment only, but they treated us like we were a store, so I eventually wound up opening up a store. So it was kind of cool. My first crystal experience was trading literally $200 worth of Wachter's organic sea vegetation products for $200 worth of crystals.
Wow.
And then my clients got crazy over it. It was wonderful.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote the book and the oracle cards in 88, correct?
Right, 98,
I'm sorry. And you won the Correlation of Visionary Retailer Award for that, correct?
I did. It was pretty exciting.
What
I had no idea I was nominated, and it was an award that was given to me by the Booksellers of America, and so it was a really, really big honor because it was an award from my peers because I owned a bookstore at the time as well. And what I got the award for is that my work is a lot different than what's there on the market. My focus is to incorporate a bridge from the science to the meta-science. So that was what I did differently.
I've seen the cards and the book. They're absolutely beautiful. Can you describe them, what exactly those cards are all about?
Sure. It's a 45 cards in the deck, and there are five different suits based on the five Tibetan elements, and within each of the five suits are eight different cards, one that represents each of the seven main chakras, but two for the heart chakra, which represents the soulmate and the journey of the heart. So when you look at each of the different elements, which is earth, air, fire, water, and ether, you're going to see a different lotus for each of the different cards. It's going to be the standard chakras, from the root chakra all the way up to the crown chakra.
Okay.
And atop the different lotuses or loti, you're going to see a different stone that represents the energy of that and the energy of the suit that it's in. Then there are five cards that represent each of the five suits, but they are the Tibetan Path of Mindfulness, which are depicted by the stone with the platonic solid, which is really interesting because when I was writing it and I was coming up with concept, I was like, oh, this is really cool. Incorporate the platonic solids with the Tibetan Path of Mindfulness. And then I found out it was exactly alike. It was exact.
Oh, wow.
So the first step on the first skanda on the Tibetan Path of Mindfulness is the skanda of form. And in Plato's five solids, the first of the solids is the solid of is the cube, which represents form. So it went on through the five different skandas. So it was pretty cool. I always say, are these guys like hanging out together on the other planes of consciousness and just saying, okay, it's my turn to come down?
Yeah, really.
And create all this greatness?
No, I was always curious. How did you pick what stone to go with what?
With which crystal? I mean, with which card?
Yeah.
I looked at the different energies of the stones and the different energies of the elements that I wanted to represent in regard to the different chakras as well. So what does the throat chakra card, what does that represent if it's in the water suit, so to say? And I use aquamarine to give that example. And so it depicted the element that I wanted to represent in the different suit.
Excellent.
So aquamarine, I actually have a cute story to tell about that anyways. When I was looking for a publisher and I went to the BEA, which is the Book Expo of America, it's the largest book expo in the world. And so I went to the Book Expo and I was looking around for a publisher and I finally found somebody who had color down really well, because color is a real hard thing. About 10 years ago, most of the tarot cards and cards that were out there, the divination cards, didn't have really bright and interesting colors. And since I was writing a book on gemstones and a card set on gemstones, I had to have something that was really bright and jewel tone and really, you know, vibrant, that really represented the beauty of the crystal. And so I found this woman, and her booth was called Blue Star Communications, and she's from Woodland, California, Petra Michelle. And so I asked her if she would be interested in seeing my work, and she said yes, and I opened up to any page. And I had told her right before that I'd love to be published in German and Spanish and Japanese and so on and so forth. And so I opened up to aquamarine, and I said, well, this is what makes my work different. Take aquamarine, for instance. It vibrates. It's got a high oxygen content, which vibrates blue on the chromatographic scale, which makes it specifically good for sore throats and cellular respiration. And she looked at me, and she goes, aquamarine is the name of my German publishing house. I did not even know she was German.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty cool, actually.
So how many languages is your book and cards in?
Right now, just German and Spanish and English. No Japanese yet. I'm working on it.
Yes. Wow. Now, there is a lot of books out there on crystals, and you read one, it says one thing about one stone. Then you pick up another book, and it says totally something different. Why is there so many variations on what one gemstone energy is?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. You know, if you're working with intuition and you're being honest that you're pulling from intuition, then it's true. At that moment, or any given moment, you could have a different feeling about a different gemstone. You could intuit a different property of a gemstone that's specific to the person you're working on at that point, or the person you're reading for, or whatever wisdom you're giving. But basically, all minerals and metals that are found in the stone have their own inherent physical capabilities. And there should be some sort of correlation clear across the board, because there are things that the minerals and metals are capable of doing,
mm-hmm.
and there are things that they're absolutely not capable of doing. And so you can't be indiscriminate about the labels that we give to different gemstones, the different words that we throw around. So so that's why I look to their scientific principles as well as their metaphysical principles, the spiritual science behind it, trying to create a bridge for that. So that way no geologists get too terribly mad at us.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to back up just a touch.
Uh-huh.
How did you get interested in gemstones?
Well, I collected them as a kid, and I was one of those precocious kids that would pick up the big fat boulders and want to bring them in the car. We had a station wagon, five kids, my mom and dad, and sometimes we had cats on the vacations. And we'd go to different places in the country, and I'd like to take them home with me. And, of course, they were heavy. So I was always naturally interested in geology, and when I was about 10 years old, my dad bought me my first crystal kit, that, you know, the big, big box with all the different crystals in there and labels, and it was just amazingly fascinating. So I just collected them without even knowing that I was going this direction.
Wow.
And then also when I was studying astrology, and I was about 21, somewhere around there, 21, 22, we used to take turns putting each other's charts on the board, and when they came to my chart, the class said and the teacher said that I would be working with gemstones and color healing. And I had no idea at that time. It was actually very cool.
Very, very cool. Now, my question is, do you have any of those gemstones that you had as a kid still?
Just a few.
You still have some?
Yeah, I have some from when I bought them at street vendors when I was like 19 and 20. And it was the cool days. You know, it was really great. You'd get this big, huge, you know, humongous chunk of malachite, or I had Australian opal and things of that nature. And apatite. I got two big apatite clusters. And, you know, like for $2.
Wow.
Those were the days. And even when I first got started in crystals more professionally, and I met an Arkansas miner named Gary Fleck at an astrology conference, because astrology, you know, is still kind of my first love, although it's really having to take a backseat to crystals sometimes. I just love crystals. But anyways, I saw his crystals, and they were just absolutely amazing. So.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that's how I got started pretty much.
So,
I was the first one that I believe in Chicago selling crystals and gemstones. I mean, there were a couple little places where you can get them, but they were seldom open. So really it was a matter of being in the right place at the right time.
And it was a really popular store, and it was open for quite a few years, wasn't it?
We were open for 19 years. We sadly had to close 2 years ago, and it was really, really difficult on me. And it's in the back of my heart that I'm hoping that I get to open up again. But we were a very popular store called Healing Earth, and a lot of people throughout the country, and even when I've gone to Europe, people have heard of us, and so it was very, very cool. We were very environmentally conscious, and we would do a whole bunch of events, and we had one of our rooms at the store would hold about 200 people, and so we had that as a big gathering room for bigger events. We even had, I think it was about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich come in at that time.
Wow.
So we would just pack them in, and we would get, you know, Shri Ma, you know, some of the different Ma's who would come through, and the spiritual leaders would come through our store, and it was wonderful, and we would have the big, you know, the big gatherings, make big pots of chai and so on and so forth, and Amrit. And so it was many, many good days. It was really, really wonderful, and we got to have many, many beautiful people work at our store throughout the years and just do fabulous events.
Yes, it sounds like it.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't get to go there and see it.
Yeah, I know. I wish I would have known you and had the store at that time.
And it's weird because I have been in Chicago when it was open, and I just didn't know about the store. So interesting. You probably passed in the night or something. What are some of your favorite stones and why?
My favorite stones? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, there's lots of favorite stones. I love kunzite.
Okay.
I love kunzite. I like talking about kunzite because you'll see some books that will talk about kunzite being really good for heart stress and the consciousness of partnerships that you make. And it's really very interesting. I write about that extensively in my book. And in my book, I really delineate things out really well to what the stone means, how to use it in healing, what it means if you pick the stone in the card, and then give an affirmation on what it's all about. But kunzite has a very high lithium content, and lithium is the third lightest element on the periodic table. And specifically, it is for lifting. It is a higher vibration. And it's very interesting, the stone lepidolite, which comes from the California-Arizona area, one of the places, and has pink tourmaline in there as well, is very, very high in the lithium. But the lepidolite is actually what they crush up to make pharmaceutical-grade lithium.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that neat?
Very neat.
So it definitely has physical properties very specific to the stone. And there are a bunch of other stones that have high lithium contents as well, like sugilite and, like I said, the tourmalines.
Right.
Lithium quartz, so you can find them in varying stones. And then you know you're going to use that for balancing out the lithium in your system because it works through a principle we call sympathetic resonance. So it works on a vibration that's similar to the vibration of lithium that you will find naturally in your physical body. And so when you either take it as a tincture, because I also teach tincture making classes,
mm-hmm.
if you take it as a vibrational medicine or if you wear the gemstone, it's going to have the vibrational resonance that's going to affect the lithium within your system and help bring that energy up.
Oh, wow.
So another stone I like to talk about quite a bit is turquoise. Turquoise is a really, really neat stone. In native cultures and in Tibetan cultures, they used to wear the turquoise, or they still wear the turquoise with it open, touching the skin.
Right.
And it's also recommended to wear copper bracelets as well. And we know that copper bracelets are worn for arthritis. So it's really interesting when you wear the turquoise on the skin, the turquoise actually has a very high copper content to it. And it reacts with the fatty salts on your skin, the buffer salts, to be reabsorbed into the body to produce copper salts, which then help to produce your antioxidant enzymes like superoxide dismutase. And so that will actually work in turn to help clear cancers, clear joint issues, any stagnant joint conditions. And so it's really interesting because we have this vibrational stone full of copper and oxygen.
Right.
And we find these same elements even in the plant kingdom, which is really fascinating. So if you look in the plant kingdom of what plants have a blue-green resonance to them, we come up with tea tree, and we come up with aloe vera, and we come up with lavender, and we come up with eucalyptus and marjoram. And those are all specifically good for healing burns, just like turquoise is. And then if you take this over to color healing and the work of Dr. Darius Dinshaw and his father, Ghirardelli Dinshaw, turquoise is the color that's very specific for healing all burns. And they do what's called a spectrochrome treatment, where they do a tonation of that color on the body to produce those results.
Wow.
Isn't that pretty cool?
Well, I wore turquoise. It's my birthstone. So.
And you're from the desert.
And I'm from the desert.
It couldn't be more perfect.
Yes.
Well, another stone I like to talk about is garnet. Now, if you read Anthroposophic Medicine, garnet, which has a very high iron content, iron becomes the anchor for the incarnating soul to come into the realms of spiritual existence. So it's really fascinating when you think of the soul being attached to this iron molecule in order to come into the realms of physical existence, and yet at the time of birth, the newborn child is going to have the highest iron content it's ever going to have in its physical life.
Wow.
And so it's just another correlation of bridging the science to the meta-science. But if you look at the spatial shuttles have to be coated with iron magnetite in order to come back into the Earth's gravitational field. And then, as if the story ends here, you take it a lot farther and you have meteorites that originally came from crashes, you know, in Mars' atmosphere and on the planet Mars. And these meteorites are high in iron content. And we get pelted with them about once a month. And so you have what's called meteoric iron coming into the Earth's atmosphere in different areas, and this has been going on for billions of years.
Yes, there's a lot of meteors in Arizona.
So when you think about it, if the incarnating soul has got to attach itself to the iron molecule, does that mean that we're being pelted by incarnating souls coming all the time? Is this a fascinating thought?
It really is, and I keep going, yes.
And more.
Yes.
Now, it's fascinating. So then we have you know, the Big Bang Theory, which they philosophized by saying about 10 billion years ago, Mars, a meteor crashed into Mars and Mars exploded, and then we have the planet Earth that is formed over time, and then we have comets that hit the Earth, and these comets are frozen water. That's what they are. So it's real interesting. They've actually found in Australia meteorites from 4.3 million years ago, that are zincite crystals, and those are the crystals that help form the mountains. But then we're being pelted with these fabulous comets, which have the water, and that's theorized as being what started the oceans.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you take it to the next level, we evolved out of the oceans, or so they say, we evolved
right.
out of the oceans. And there is some theory to that that makes sense. There was a book by the McMinimums called Hypersea, which talks about how we've, through evolution, we've crawled out of the seas, and we contain within the physical body the apparatus, or the blood vessels and capillaries, to contain blood, which is identical in mineralogical properties to seawater. So it begs the question, are we land animals, are we sea animals, or are we cosmic beings from other realms?
Really?
From the atmosphere of Uranus or Mercury or whatever, because a lot of these meteorites have been found to be from there.
Well, it's also amazing because what percentage is the body water?
Right, exactly. And then you take that back to crystals. I can go on with this subject forever. And if you read Barbara Marciniak's book, Bringers of the Dawn, she talks about the Earth as being the record keeper, kind of the communications planet, the living library in our solar system. And 90% of our the covering of the Earth is igneous rock, which is quartz crystal. It's the mother matrix for quartz crystal. And quartz, if you take the head of a pin of quartz, it can hold over 150,000 bits of information. So we are the library.
Yes.
It's fascinating. And there's so much more to these stories. I'm working on this right now for my next book, and it just, it's mind-blowing.
It's really fascinating. I'm going to open the lines. I'm going to give the phone number. We're going to continue talking. But if you would like, if you have any questions, the number to call in is 877-876-5227 for the U.S. If you're in Canada, it is 888-815-9756. Please call, and if you got any questions, and I'm going to ask the question. I recently had a Vedic astrology to figure out what gemstone would be good for me just to liven things up. And I was told that a yellow sapphire would be excellent for me.
Right. And which day of the week are you born on?
Tuesday.
Okay, so you're born on Tuesday. And Tuesday, according to the Vedas and according to the Hindu, according to the Tibetans, is going to be the planet Mars. So they believe constitutionally if you only wear one stone that you should be wearing a coral.
Okay.
Now, yellow sapphire does strengthen your birth planet, which is Jupiter, because you're a Sagittarius, right?
Yes.
And this can be used for swollen glands, mumps, ulcerations in the mouth, abscesses, coughs, goiters, pancreatic disorders, and obesity. Now, I know you're none of that, but this is the energy of the yellow sapphire, and it's very cooling and antiseptic, and it's going to boost your body's immune system as well. But on top of that, it's going to enhance your Jupiter function, which is your birth sign.
Yes.
So it's going to help you with abundance, prosperity, the worldwide net, reaching out other cultures everywhere.
Yes, and at this point, I do want to say I recently did have a jewel astrology reading, wasn't it?
Right. I'm not a Hindu astrologer. I just know a lot of stuff, but I am a classic astrologer, a Western astrologer, and I do what's called Jules astrology. So I read the chart, and after I'm done reading the chart, I allow the client to ask a whole bunch of questions, and we do this using the oracle, but using the chart for timing.
And it's amazing and very, very accurate.
Thank you.
So I had one, when was it, a year ago, 2 years ago?
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's like I'm getting guests. Oh, I gotta have Dawn. So I call and I say, I gotta have a reading. I want you on the show, but I gotta have a reading. And it was wonderful to have another reading.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
It seems like things are going to improve for me. Yay!
Yeah, your chart was great, and there was love in there. So it's happening. We know it's all coming.
Yes.
So do we have anyone who's called in yet?
Not yet, so we're going to keep going. Now, for, you know, talking about what other gems are really good to for the other days of the week. If we got Mars is for Tuesday.
Okay. Mars is for Tuesday.
What's Sunday?
What is Sunday? Sunday is the sun. So Sunday is going to be specifically rubies. And in the Vedic medicine, rubies are to treat illnesses that have anything to do with cold or dampness. So they're considered hot gems, and they're used in lasers, and the Tibetans and Hindus use rubies to raise the blood pressure, to treat constipation and lack of lack of energy. It increases the body temperature, increases the metabolic rate, circulation, and toning the muscles. And they say ruby is very helpful for people with weight problems or anyone with irregular palpitations. So it's going to, ruby is also considered to be the master gemstone for the heart chakra. So it's going to heal those energies. And then we have pearl, which is Monday, and pearl strengthens the moon and emits an orange wavelength that's cooling, so it treats diseases arising from too much heat in the body. So it would be like high blood pressure, asthma, flu, pneumonia, tonsillitis, chickenpox, bronchitis. So it's also good for high acidic conditions, too. And oftentimes you'll feel the acidic conditions first in the stomach with the acid reflux, which the stomach, of course, is ruled by the moon.
Right.
And it also helps to heal with conjunctivitis and then you go into emotional fears and things of that nature. So then we talked about that fact that you're born on a Tuesday, and that's the planet Mars, and the stone for that is coral. And coral is very warming, and it's used to treat colic and gallstones, hemorrhoids, warts, and problems with jaundice and hepatitis, and is very enlivening for the lower bowels as well. I know this doesn't all sound attractive. But you use it for healing. And the interesting thing, we're going to get to the rest of them in just a minute, but the really interesting thing is the Vedas incorporate all of this. They incorporate the yoga medicine. They incorporate the homeopathic remedies. They incorporate which herbs and what foods to eat. But the thing with wearing a 2-carat flawless gemstone is that it's on your body. It's kind of like a no-brainer. You don't have to remember to wear your gemstone. Well, you do have to remember to wear your gemstone, but once it's on, it's on. It's not like having to remember the right foods to eat or the right herbs to take and so on and so forth. Okay, so then we have Wednesday, which is emerald and the planet Mercury. And Mercury is, emerald is often used to treat burns, colitis, cystitis, diarrhea, heartburn, eczema, inflammation, stomach ulcers, even anorexia. So the energy of the emerald is cold, and it's used pretty much as an analgesic and to get rid of excess heat in the body. So what's really neat about that is I like to talk about emerald because I talk about how gemstones will get their colors. And emerald has a very high oxygen content along with a very high beryllium content. And beryllium vibrates yellow on the chromatographic scale, and oxygen vibrates blue on the chromatographic scale. Now, it also has a very high chromium content, which has a blue-green radiation to it. And you put all that together, they coalesce in time, and they create what's called these frozen flames. They just, the minerals and metals collide and come together and create that color at that moment.
Isn't it beautiful?
Isn't it beautiful? And that's why gemstone.
Isn't the emerald also, though, considered the stone of the heart?
They do. Emerald would be the other stone that's considered to be a master of the heart chakras. Excuse me. And this is according to a lot of the ascended masters. Now, in the Vedic and the Tibetan systems, it is specifically to heal Mercury, though.
Okay.
Okay. Then we got yellow sapphire, which we talked about for the planet Jupiter. Then we have Venus, and Venus is Friday, and it's ruled by the stone diamond. And diamond is prescribed for sterility as well as problems related to menopause. It's effective in treating diabetes and epilepsy and depression. And the energy from the diamond is invigorating, stimulating, and clarifying. Now, the interesting thing about the diamond is we live in a culture where everybody runs out and buys a diamond.
Right.
And yet, it's not necessarily appropriate for everybody if it's not in a strong place in your astrology chart. Or your Tibetan Rasa Vidya chart, which is another thing that I teach. And I teach that with making gemstone elixirs and vibrational medicine. If it's not recommended in your chart and you're wearing it, then it actually could cause more harm than good. And so it's not, you know, in India, not everybody runs out who's getting married and buys a diamond. It's
right.
maybe more appropriate to wear a coral or an emerald. So it's kind of interesting how that works. Well, and then we have Saturn, which is Saturday. And then we have the gemstone that strengthens that is blue sapphire. Now, blue sapphire is for joint pains, backaches, and headaches. It has been shown to have good results in treating earaches, gout, dandruff, eczema, alopecia, laryngitis, neuralgia, vertigo, and even symptoms of Parkinson's disease. And this gemstone is very cooling, soothing, antispasmodic, and tranquilizing. So it's interesting how the Vedic cultures have been using this for over 15,000 years.
Right.
And the gemstones absorb, radiate, and reflect different frequencies of light. And what's really neat about it is the gemstones matches the electromagnetic energy of the cells and the skin to the different emissions from the different planets. And science is already finding this to be true, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
So one of the things we talked about with birthstones, it actually just happens to be appropriate in your astrology to wear the yellow sapphire, which strengthens Jupiter. But actually, you know, when I had the store, everybody would come running in and they would want to buy their gemstone. I mean, buy their birthstone.
Right.
And that was really hard for me because I knew that in 1912, the National Association of Retailer Jewelers put out an arbitrary list of what was commercially viable. So it was kind of funky because I knew everybody was getting sold the Hallmark, you know,
right.
with these birthstones. And we know that this isn't possible because they make the prescriptions based on the month. And so if you take any month, like, let's say, August, you have Leo, you know, the flamboyant Leo with the shy Virgo all in the same month. And one's a fire sign and the other's an earth sign. And so the energies there are entirely different, and you couldn't possibly prescribe the same stone for both.
Right.
Yeah.
It was very interesting because when they did my chart, they told me do not, under any circumstances, have a diamond.
So Venus would not be. So in the Vedic charts, they strengthen what's called already the strong planets. They highlight the focus of the strong planets.
Right.
And those are the planets you're supposed to work with, and you're supposed to pretty much leave the weaker planets alone. Unless you wear something called the Nataraj, which will have all nine stones.
Okay.
But they'll have them in the right proportions.
Nine stones. We only went over seven.
Right, right. With this, we don't do the moon's north node and the moon's south node. That's a whole other story. But it is really fascinating. It's really interesting.
It really is.
And so this is just a little taste of the classes that I give, but I've got a class coming up. If anybody is on the line from Davis, California, I have a class coming up on the 16th of November. It's a full-day class, and it will be my level 1 and 2, which is learning the crystal bridge and learning how to use gemstones. And then we're also going to work on doing crystal body work. And then the next day I'm going to be in Sonoma County, and I'll be doing a class called Rasa Vidya Astrology, making medicinal tinctures based on your astrologies using gemstones. So I'm going to teach a class on learning how to produce gemstone elixirs.
Excellent.
Thank you. But I am from Chicago, and so a lot of the work I do is I do charts over the phone. I get lots of people who call me. Half my calls are from somewhere else. If you happen to live in the Chicagoland area, you're always welcome to come by, and I do the charts with the readings.
Now, how do people get in touch with you if they're not in the Chicago area?
They could just send me an email at Dawn Silver, like the color, Dawn Silver, at Ameritech, ameritech.net. My website's under construction, so if you just write this down and hold it for a bit, it will be under Jewels of the Lotus or dawnsilver.com. And then you can always give me a call, 773-271-2792. I'll be out of town for the next week, but I'd be happy to hear from you.
Excellent. Excellent. So you're writing a new book. When do you think the new book will be out?
A couple years ago, I think. We're always optimistic about these things. But
yes.
I've been working on an awful lot of just an awful lot of research that I've been working on for quite a while, and just many more gemstones and many more of the properties, you know, again, based on the folklore, but creating a bridge from the folklore to the science. So looking at the different properties of the stones, learning an awful lot more about anthroposophic medicine, Tibetan medicine, Vedic medicine, and even standard medicine.
Excellent. And we have a caller. Welcome, caller, to AIR. What is your question?
Hi, Jen. This is Dana. How are you tonight?
Good. Hi,
hey.
Dana.
Hi. I'm just thrilled to be listening to you and your guests. I've been a long-time listener since you started the show. And when she started talking about the different days of the week that you were born,
right.
I had to quickly look mine up online, and I missed what she said about Sunday.
Oh, well, we'll go back to Sunday.
Thank you.
Sunday is ruled by the sun, of course, and the gemstone for Sunday is a ruby. So in Vedic healing, rubies are to treat illnesses that cause cold or dampness in the body. They're considered a hot gem, and they use them in laser treatments. So in Tibetan, in Hindu astrology, rubies are used to raise the blood pressure, treat constipation and lack of energy. It increases the body temperature, increases the metabolic rate, circulation, and toning the muscles. And ruby is very helpful for weight problems or regular palpitations. Now, it's very interesting because when you're born on a Sunday, they're always going to recommend that gemstone for you, because even if you don't have those issues, this is the issues of your ancestry, and this is to help balance out your genetic constitution.
Wow.
So it would be, now a lot of people ask the question, do I need to run out and buy rubies? For the most part, that is your star gem. Ruby is the strongest gem, just knowing that you're born on a Sunday. However, you can use stones that have a similar frequency to it. Now, it's really hard to get the really red gemstones. And you could get red spinel. You can get red tourmaline. Lesser qualities of it would be a really pink-red rhodochrosite, or you could even go rose quartz. Obviously, they're more affordable. Not everybody can run out and buy diamonds, rubies, emeralds,
yes,
and sapphires, although I wish.
Well, I just recently in the last year was given a gift of ruby earrings and necklace. I'd never had rubies before.
How fortunate.
So they have diamonds with them, though.
Okay. Well, the truth is, where are you calling from?
Arizona.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll get to see you on one of my trips to Arizona, because
oh,
I do
that.
This fabulous class called the Rasa Vidyay, in which we learn how to make tinctures based on our astrologies. I can also do that for you. I can't do it right now because it's a preparation. It's like doing a chart.
Mm-hmm.
But you would have to determine whether Venus was appropriate to be strengthening in your chart.
I see, with the diamonds in it.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm enjoying the show.
Well,
it was my pleasure.
Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, it's like when I got the yellow sapphire, they said, yes, you should be wearing the coral and also pearl. So they wanted me to emphasize my moon and then Mars, which is also my rising sign, is Aries.
Mm-hmm.
So do you generally try and stay with those kind of setups?
Well, you know, and that's a great question. You can wear them separately, or you can wear them in a piece that's made for you specifically. You can do that, and then, of course, you can be specific about where you wear it on your body, where you wear it on your hand.
Right.
That's a whole other discussion that needs to be determined by your chart.
Right.
For the most part, I wear my prescription about 90% of the time. Now, it's really hard because, you know, I make these jokes about it because I love everything blue and purple and green. I'm just like, give me big, massive emeralds. I love
them. Right.
But coral is also my stone. Same with yellow sapphire and same with ruby. And so it's just kind of funny that those are my strongest stones to wear for my planets, for my Mars, Jupiter, and Sun.
Right.
And I've grown to completely love them, and I'm doing great.
Now, do you have a piece that has all of them mixed together?
I don't.
I mean, when I was I had this ring made for me, so I was trying to get, you know, like pearls with the stone, or and it's just like, it's kind of awkward to get those together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting. But I was told not to use any blue stones. Blue or green, stay away.
Isn't that terrible? I just love blue and green stones.
And it's like, I love tanzanite. I'm going, what do you mean I can't wear my tanzanite? I've got two beautiful stones. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. And tanzanite will relate to Saturn, and so maybe it's not appropriate in your chart. And then with wedding rings or with rings, you should never wear diamonds with Saturn stones,
right,
or sapphires or amethyst.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's kind of funny how that all works.
Yes.
But really, it is about taking the proper medication.
Okay.
If you don't need to take lithium, don't take lithium. If you're already happy. I don't know why I said that. That came off a little funky. So another stone I like to talk about. Do I have a few more minutes?
You sure do.
I love to talk about dioptase. And I'm talking about, in my book, I go into the spiritual properties of all these different stones as well. And here I'm finding myself talking more about the medical factors involved with it. But dioptase is another stone that has a very high copper content. And it also has a very high oxygen content. It's a beautiful emerald green. And oftentimes it gets mistaken for emeralds. But it's a very expensive stone in its own right. So with dioptase, it helps with undernourishment and raising the T cell count, increasing the strength of your immune system. Very good for destroying germs, bacteria, preventing decay, and so on and so forth. And again, we have, you know, the elements like the superoxide dismutase because it has the high copper content in there. But according to anthroposophist Dr. Rudolf Hauschka, he notes that copper-rich crystals such as dioptase contain a high degree of water, which is absorbed by the copper and changed into beautiful forms and color. Now, this is a stone I oftentimes give to pregnant women to wear. It's a great stone. So it's very interesting to note that during pregnancy, the copper content of a woman is tripled as she envelops the new form and creates a sheath of protective forces linking her and the incarnating soul. So it's very interesting. Again, here we have a stone. I recommend it for pregnancy. I've seen it in a few other books recommended for the same. And the question is always why, and I find that most of the books don't know how to answer that. And yet science is telling you that copper creates a sheath. Anthroposophic science teaches us this, that copper creates a sheath of protective forces linking you and the incarnating soul. So it's very interesting because green is the color of the heart chakra. So it's bringing the child up to the level of the breast and creating a protective bubble or environment for that soul as it begins the bonding process.
So would it be good for a pregnant woman to wear like a copper bracelet or ring or copper jewelry?
It can be very good. Again, yeah, it depends on the person. It depends on what their copper levels are like, because you can get too much copper in the system, and so we don't want to overdo that. There are many ways to tell, but one can use their intuition as well on that.
Yes.
If their body has too much acid, the copper is going to create the black and the green on the skin, and that has a lot to do with the acid content in the body. And we know we get too much acid when we eat too many acid-forming foods like dairy products and meats and sugars.
Yes.
So, which brings me to another stone that I love to talk about, which is jade. And in Spanish, jade was known as piedra de yada, which means pain on the sides. And in the 1500s, the conquistadors used to believe that if you put jade on the back, right on the kidneys, that it would pull the kidney stones out. So it's really interesting because jade has a very high aluminum content, and aluminum is a known drawing agent. We know this because in clay, the aluminum content in clay, we put clay masks on, and the aluminum draws out the impurities from our skin. So it's drawing out the kidney stones, putting them into solution, and then you have the calcium and the silica, which helps to heal an over-acidic condition.
Right.
And so it will buffer the system.
So how long has people been knowing to use stones for healing properties? I mean, it's like ever since man's been here.
That's a really good question. I don't know if I can adequately answer that one. But it goes back to many, many cultures. Of course, the Egyptians and the Chinese
right. And
the Tibetans. I mean, cultures throughout time have been using gemstones. And then we've also used them even just in technology or even just, you know, selenite. The fabulous stone selenite is ground up to make plaster material.
Right.
So throughout the ages, we found ways to use gemstones for outer purposes and specifically scientifically. And it's very interesting because those same principles can be used in some ways in the physical body.
Excellent. I'm going to ask you about some stones. And if you could give, let's put it this way. I'm going to ask, a lot of people want to know spiritually if you wear a certain stone, like if you want more prosperity.
Topaz.
Topaz.
Topaz is my, or emerald. Those are my two favorite stones for prosperity.
Okay. How about for better health?
Ooh, that's a good one. Green tourmaline strengthens the immune system and the T cell count, as does the dioptase. Depends on what the health is. I mean, you know, if you have an infection in your lungs, you're going to want to wear something like tourmaline to strengthen the T cells.
Right.
But if your muscles are weak in the lungs, actually orange is the color of lung building, and you might want to wear something like a carnelian instead. So it really depends specifically on what the issue is. But you can ask me those kind of questions.
Okay. How about romance? You want more love in your life?
Well, if it's new love, I like rhodochrosite because it enlivens the heart chakra. If you want love without a lot of baggage, you want somebody who's spiritually advanced, I like kunzite. I love ruby because that is the divine passion of the heart, and yet it also implies don't jump for every glittering stone that crosses your path. And ruby has a slight delay to it. It's almost like you earn that factor.
Yes.
But ruby's perfect. It's for divine union. And it is, here's another interesting thing about ruby. I love talking about this. I use this in my soulmate layout that I do with the Jewels of the Lotus Oracle. And the soulmate is the as above, so below. It's represented by the Star of David. And if you have a cross-section of a ruby, it's going to have, it's a trigonal stone, so it's going to have triangle on top of triangle on top of triangle on top of triangle. That's the natural planes of symmetry in the ruby itself. And if you look at the tricona, which is for feminine prosperity, it too is the triangle on top of the triangle on top of the triangle on top of the triangle. So it brings in the male and female forces together in regards to the Star of David. Because the Star of David, and to take this to another level, I love playing with this stuff. The angles between each of the points on the star are 60 degrees, and in astrology, it represents the door is open so long as the soul is inclined. So when you think of your soulmate or your twin flame, you know, we come back lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, and not every lifetime we're going to be with that same soulmate. The door is open so long as the will is inclined. Sometimes we have to skip a handful of lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you don't get love, but you might not get that higher quality.
Right. Right. Now, in astrology, is there certain aspects that you would tend to say, yes, this is a soulmate relationship? How can you tell it's a soulmate relationship?
Oh, you know, there are lots of factors in there, but according to the Magi's, you have Chiron, which is the planet of the wounded healer, but also has a very lifetime-to-lifetime quality to it. When it's in a relationship, and usually a flowing relationship like a trine, which is 120 degrees, or a conjunction, which is within a few degrees, or a sextile, which is 60 degrees, when it's in a healthy aspect, that would be, according to the Magi's, a karmic relationship or a soulmate relationship. That's considered one of the soulmate aspects. Another thing I look for is the north node. The north node is the direction you're going this lifetime. And if your north node is on somebody's moon or if it's on somebody's sun or Venus, it's a really nice indicator that that's a healthy place for you to go for love. Now, if the south node is on your moon, or it's in your 12th house or something of that nature, the person you're concerned about, that might indicate a past life attraction, somebody who you've known in a not-too-distant past life, and your paths cross again, but it might not be appropriate for you to be together again this lifetime long-term. You kind of come to rescue each other from certain lessons, give each other a little bit of a reprieve, and remind each other that you're loved. Okay. It's always this very strong, familiar feeling, like you know them.
Yes, definitely.
We've all had that, or I hope we've all had that.
Yes.
We all deserve that.
And the lessons just keep going on.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, how long are your readings? Or does it just depend on how many questions somebody has?
No, I usually find a lot to talk about. I have no problems talking. Readings are an hour and a half. They're $100 for an hour and a half.
Wow, that's a bargain.
And then I also do crystal body work as well. So I do crystal healing with body work. And my sessions are an hour and a half as well. And I incorporate into that some of the naturopathic work and then the stone layouts. And then I also do stone layout hot stones with using gemstones as opposed to the hot rocks.
So much to talk about.
I know.
Now,
it's a fun life, huh?
It definitely is. You were mentioning that it is difficult to find the Jewel of the Lotus.
Thank you for saying that. I just recently went out of print, which is really, really sad. And I am looking for a new publisher. I am definitely hoping to be picked up again. But in the meantime, the only thing out there are a great handful of books on the market where the price has jumped up significantly. And so now I've seen them for way over $100. And I'm like, wow. Trust me, folks, I don't make anything extra on that. I've already made my 90 cents a copy. Anyways, it's fun to joke about it. But I am hoping to get it back out there because I teach classes every single month. And the last few months, it's been hard to not have the book available while you're teaching because everyone wants it, fortunately.
They're absolutely beautiful cards and book. I mean, so much information in it.
It really is. The Jewels of the Lotus Tibetan Gemstone Oracle are a teaching tool. So you will learn about the Tibetan five elements. You'll learn about the seven main chakras. You're going to learn about all the different gemstones and how they relate. And you're going to learn about the Tibetan path of mindfulness and a whole bunch of different readings and platonic solids and all that stuff. But you learn how they tie in together. And you just become more fluid with it.
And it's always good to have that information and go with the flow.
Thank you.
It's always great. I do really recommend getting a reading from her. She is, the information is just mind-blowing, and it's just wonderful. She's got such wonderful energy anyway. It's just always so much fun to talk with Dawn. And it's come to the end of our show, so I want to thank Dawn very much for being all this great information. And remind people again when your classes are in November.
Okay, well, I have a class not this weekend, but the following weekend. On Saturday in Davis, California. It's by Sacramento. I have not been there before, but I'll have my level one and two there, and it's an awesome class. And then the following day, I'll be in Sonoma County, and I'll be doing my level four, which you can take my classes out of order. They're meant to be that way, or they're made where you can do that, I mean. And I'll be teaching gemstone elixirs and vibrational sprays.
And if they want to contact you for a reading, why don't you give your email and phone number one more time?
Thank you. Dawn Silver, like the color, at Ameritech, Ameritech, and that's 773-271-2792.
Okay.
Jennifer, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. Maybe in February when you go to the Gem and Mineral Show in Tucson.
I would love it.
Make sure we do it. Next week, I have a wonderful healer. Her name is Sandy from soulawaken.com. She does amazing work on cellular and energy. She rewrites your DNA to get rid of those bad programming. It's good stuff. I'm really looking forward to talking to her next week. I also want to remind people that I am looking for your questions about animal communications and animal science, I will be interviewing Ted Andrews, and he will be on the first week of December. So I'm looking for your questions. If you have a question, please email me at jen@jenniferhillman.com. And I just if you could put animal in the subject, I would appreciate it. Until next time, I'm Jennifer Hillman, wishing with each breath of air, you gain new insights and inspiration. I thank you all for listening. Many blessings and good night.